I am going to begin with something very different today. We're going to begin by I'm going to show you some pictures. We're going to kind of play a game online on the screen. So I'll share the screen with you guys. Okay. So. You've seen some of these pictures before, probably. These are some optical illusions. And what I'm going to do is, you got to get to where you can see the screen. And so kind of come on around here so you can see what it is I'm going to be showing you. And let's share this. Okay. Tell me what you see. It's not complicated. What do you see?
A chalice.
A chalice?
A chalice.
Yeah, you see a chalice, don't you? Do you see anything
faces.
Else? What's that?
A chalice.
And faces.
And faces. You see faces? They're looking. They're studying. That I don't need to worry about that.
A what?
Okay, so you see right here
it's like a beach.
The black chalice,
uh-huh.
And you see two white
oh.
faces, right, looking at each
oh.
other, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, they're both there, aren't they?
Oh.
Okay, this is one you've seen as well. Are you ready?
All right, it's good.
What do you see? A girl. Describe the girl.
Had it with hat on and hair and.
How old?
Maybe 20. 8, 9.
8 or 9. So you see a young girl.
Yes, I'm old. Oh.
Oh.
An old woman with the hat and no teeth and.
Yeah.
You see an old woman, or do you see a young woman?
Both of them.
You see both of them. What do you see, Leah?
Young girl.
You see a young woman.
Outline the nose there.
Okay. So an eye, and a nose, and a mouth. And you see an old woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Old, not yet.
Without teeth.
So, all right. We're going to play a game.
Oh, I see.
You see, what do you see now?
Another woman on the other side. So there's with the eye, that one.
An old woman or a young woman?
I think still young. I don't know. So, like, because we can treat this as like an ear or
if this
an
is
eye.
That's right. If this is an eye, this is an old woman. If this is an ear, it's a young woman looking away.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to play another game. Okay, this is when I was in school, we used to play this. This was a magazine that used to come called Highlights. And they would have these pictures. And they would hide things in the pictures. And you had to find the things that they're hiding in the pictures. And so what I'm going to do is start here. We'll just play this game. The hidden pictures game. Okay, so here's the picture. And you see these things right here? These little items are hidden in this picture somewhere. And you have to find these items. We're not going to play the whole game and find everything, but you have to find them. If you see one, let me know. I'll click on it and it will show it to you. If somebody sees one,
I see the funnel.
You see the funnel. And where is the funnel?
On the, what is that, the tiger's...
Right here. You see it?
I see this thing here.
Which thing?
This thing.
Oh, the brush is right here. Okay, good. Now you know how the game goes. Okay, find something for me.
The feather and the rabbit's ear.
Feather in the rabbit's ear, right here. Anyone else?
I see the ladder by the squirrel's tail. Is that the ladder by the squirrel's tail?
The ladder by the squirrel's tail?
It's a building, maybe?
Like right here?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Try that.
I think the fish in here, I think.
A fish right here?
Yeah.
You want me to try it?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, that was not right. Nice try.
Tennis ball on the cat's shoe.
Leave it to leave it to David to find the tennis ball.
The fish is here.
Where's the fish?
This is here.
The fish is here.
Right where?
There,
here?
Yep.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
What was my name playing?
Okay, good. We'll stop there. We're not gonna finish the game. I wanted you to get a good picture of it. It's not every day that you get a sermon where you get to play highlights, hidden picture games. And so let me stop sharing here.
Thanks to the throwback to my
youth. Yeah, that's right.
Sitting in doctor's offices.
That's right. Okay, so now, why did we play these games? I promise there's a reason why we played these games. And the reason actually ties to the text we're going to deal with today. Basically, what you had is you had pictures of items that were hidden in plain sight. You had an old woman, but you saw an old young woman.
Yeah.
But the old woman was right there in front of your face. And you had two faces and a vase, and they were all there right in front of your face. And you saw one thing, and maybe if you looked at, oh, I see another thing. And you had, with the hidden picture game, you had things that were hidden right in front of you. You've got optical illusions, and you're staring at it, and you don't see it. But once you see it, you see it. Right? Once you see the thing, you say, oh, yes. And then you can't not see it. Okay, people are like this. See, some people are optical illusions. You see one thing, but there's something else there. And very often, the other thing that's there is right in front of your nose. Now, in 1 Timothy, last week, we talked about elders. And we're going to be in that same text again today. So I'm going to read the whole text, but we're going to focus on the end part of the text because we didn't really get to the very last part of that text last week. We talked about some other things. But I'm going to read the whole text just for the context.
Where is it?
It's in 1 Timothy chapter 5, starting in verse 17. I'm going to read verses 17 to 25. It says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. Do not admit a charge against an elder, except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality. Do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. The sins of some people are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. So also good works are conspicuous, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden. Okay, so last week we talked about the importance of taking care of your elders, your pastors. That's verses 17 and 18 that I read today. We talked about how they care for your souls, and that's why Paul wants you to take care of them. We then talked about the process of disciplining an elder or a pastor. That basically is this. One, if someone accuses an elder of something serious, investigate it. If the investigation turns up nothing, drop it. If the investigation finds evidence of serious sin, rebuke the elder publicly. This is what Paul's talking about. That's the process. That's verses 19 through 21. We then talked about Paul's instruction to not be hasty in laying on of hands. And what he's saying is, don't be quick in appointing elders. Take your time. Better to take your time and observe a man's character than to put someone in leadership and later find out you have to remove him. That's verse 22. Now, everything I just said is review from last week. That's not new. It's, you know, we talked about all that stuff last week. What we're going to cover this week, however, is tied to that. And so today we're going to focus on verses 23 through 25. Mostly we're going to focus on verses 24 and 25. But we'll talk verse 23 kind of briefly right now. So look at verse 23. And if you look at the flow of ideas, verse 23 interrupts everything. It doesn't really fit the flow of ideas. Because he says, don't be hasty in laying on of hands, or you will participate in the sins of others. And then he continues in verse 24, that's verse 22. Then he continues in verse 24, with the sins of some people are conspicuous, they go before them. And this is actually explaining why, verse 22. But verse 23 is just kind of thrown in there. It's like, okay, Paul, why'd you do that? And this is actually very Pauline, by the way. Paul does this quite frequently, where he's going down one trail, and then he quickly does a rabbit trail that goes off, that's a side trail off of his main thing. And then he'll come back. And he does this all the time. You can think of Romans 5. Paul cuts off, actually, in Romans 5, verse 13, Paul cuts off mid-sentence. And he relates a related thought, but a different thought. Ephesians 4, 9, and 10, Paul interrupts his complete flow of thought to talk about what ascending and descending mean in that section. And so Paul does this. It's actually his style. He does this all the time. You've had people who talk this way. They talk and they say something and one word reminds them, oh yeah. And now they're talking about, you know, whatever that word reminded them of. And then they'll come back, maybe. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But you know what I'm talking about. People talk this way all the time. Okay, Paul writes this way sometimes. And so that's what's going on here. And so what that means, really, verse 23 is actually a mark of authenticity of this letter, if you think about it. Because think of it this way. If someone were going to invent a letter in Paul's name, let's write a letter and we'll pretend we're Paul, they're not going to throw that in there. Because it's going way off topic. It's just, this is a mark of authenticity. This is actually realistic. If you were to just do this, it would get in the way of what you were trying to do. If you were trying to invent something, this would get in the way. But if Paul knows Timothy, which he does, and Paul knows Timothy's infirmities, which he does, The connection is this. At the end of verse 22, Paul commands Timothy to keep himself pure. You can look at verse 22. Keep yourself pure. In verse 23, Paul knows that Timothy's habit is to drink only water. He refers to that in verse 23. That's Timothy's habit. And probably, Timothy's habit is a precaution to keep himself pure. Very likely, that's why Timothy is drinking only water. And Paul is saying to Timothy, the man he knows, who drinks only water in order to keep himself pure, he says, keep yourself pure. And that reminds him, yes, I know you're doing this to keep yourself pure. But hey, it's okay for you to drink a little wine for your infirmities. That's not going to, you know, you're not going to be impure if you drink a little wine. That's very likely the flow of thought in Paul. We're sort of trying to sort of step into Paul's mind because he doesn't explicitly say that, but it makes sense of what's going on, better than anything else makes sense of what's going on. And so he's not criticizing Timothy's practice of drinking only water. He's just saying, hey, Timothy, it's okay if you drink a little wine. Now, for us, in a practical, you know, speaking way, all it really means is drinking a little wine is okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with drinking alcohol per se. Now, Scripture is clear that drunkenness is sin. There's a difference between drinking a little wine and drunkenness. And Scripture makes that difference clear. But just having a glass of wine is not drunkenness. And so you can be pure and have a glass of wine. That's the gist of verse 23. That's pretty much what's going on there. It interrupts everything, and it sort of takes off from Paul's command for Timothy to be pure. Now, verses 24 and 5, we're going to move on to them and spend more time with them. They naturally follow verse 22. So I'm going to read them, but I'm going to skip verse 23. So verse 22, do not be hasty in the laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. The sins of some people are conspicuous, going before them to judgment, but the sins of others appear later. So also good works are conspicuous, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden. Okay, so if you lay hands on someone too quickly, you may participate in the sin of the leaders that you put in place. That's verse 22. Verse 24. Some sins you see right away. They're obvious. Some sins don't show up till later. That's verse 24. Verse 25, good works are the same way. Some good works you see right away. Some good works show up later. And so he's just saying people are, you don't always see everything right away in people. And that's true on the good side and the bad side, both sides. And so 24 and 25 have the same idea. For some people, what you see is what you get, good or bad. And for other people, what you see is not necessarily what you get, good or bad. And so for many people, who they are is hidden from you. Now, just as those hidden pictures that we just, you know, the games we played, they were right in front of your nose, but you didn't see them all. But you know what? If I gave you enough time, with those pictures, you would eventually see all the hidden things that were hidden in those pictures. You would find them eventually. And Paul's saying, this is how people are. Their sins will come out sooner or later. Give them enough time and their good works will come out too. And so time is one of the great tests of true faith. See, true faith doesn't just sprout up quickly as in rocky soil or thorny soil, only to get choked out later. That's not what true faith is. Now, in the beginning, the seed that's sown on rocky soil, the seed that's sown on thorny soil, and the seed that's sown on good soil, in the very beginning, they all look the same. They quickly sprout up, and it looks the same. But over time, the seed on the bad soil dies. The seed on the good soil thrives. And the only way you can tell the difference is time. That's how you tell the difference. You have to wait. You have to see what's going to happen. And Paul, and this is how people are. This is why Paul says in verse 22, don't be hasty in laying on of hands. We talked some about that last week, but it's tied to this idea. Because you don't always see everything right away. That's verses 24 and 25. And here's the thing. Once you do see something, good or bad, you see it. It can't be hidden. That's how Paul puts it. You know, at the very end of 25, you know, the good things that are not conspicuous cannot remain hidden. They're going to come out. And so this principle that some people are illusions is something you've seen. You've seen this. You've seen people that are illusions. You know, I think immediately of Ravi Zacharias, who fits. He was an illusion. His sins did not appear until later. In fact, for him, until after he died. And he faced the judgment first before his sins came to light. But they did come to light. You know, Laura, you sent me that article this week of, I think it was 7 pastors in North Texas who were dismissed or stepped down for sin. And for, I would be willing to say, for the majority of their pastorates, their sin was hidden. But eventually, it came out. It came to light in time. This we've seen this. I'm going to give you. Here's an example. I don't know if you've got. Excuse me. Can I get some water? Thank you. Sorry.
No problem.
Okay, same principle. I don't know if you've seen this movie or read this book, but Pride and Prejudice. In the beginning of Pride and Prejudice, everyone thinks Mr. Wickham is wonderful. But in the end, we see that Mr. Wickham sleeps around with every girl he can, runs up debt coming out his ears, gambles, gets drunk. Just, this is Mr. Wickham. This is his life. But everyone in the beginning thinks, oh, he is such a wonderful man. Eventually, his sins show up. And same story, Pride and Prejudice. In the beginning, everyone thinks that Mr. Darcy is an arrogant jerk. But by the end, Elizabeth learns that Mr. Darcy is the one who paid all the expenses for Lydia's marriage. And she completely changes her view of him and ends up marrying him. Okay, verse 24. Some sins appear later. That's Mr. Wickham. Verse 25. Some good deeds are not obvious, but they won't stay hidden. That's Mr. Darcy. See, you guys have met people who you first thought were wonderful, only to find out later that they weren't so wonderful as you thought they were. Time and a closer view changed your opinion. And you have also met people that you may not have liked at first, only to find out that they grew on you. They were really pretty kind. You were wrong about them. Time and a closer view changed your opinion. That's why Paul says, take your time in selecting leaders. Sometimes sins show up later, and sometimes good works show up later. Both. But they do show up. And that fact has application not just for selecting leaders. It has application in other ways. First of all, the fact that sins do show up says that because we believe in God, who's a just God, and there will be justice. You know how you look at Earth, we've talked about this before for various other texts, but here on Earth, there's a lot of injustice, and there can be, sometimes we can throw up our hands and just say, ah, this world is so, there will never be justice. That's not true. Now, that may be true here on Earth, but you can't hide your sins. God sees them. And there is justice in the end. This is something that for Christians is very comforting. When we live in an unjust world and we see injustice all around us, but we know there will be justice. And that can be a comforting thought. You know, we prayed earlier for the war in Gaza, and there's just stuff going on all over the world, not just that. In the end, justice will be served. And that's a comforting thing. That's an application that comes from this. You can't hide your sins. No one can. Which brings me to a direct application for you and me. That means you can't hide your sins. You know, we've kind of been talking about other people out there, and it's been kind of comforting to talk about other people out there. Yeah, those guys, sooner or later we're going to see what they're really like. Well, you know what? Sooner or later everyone's going to see what you're like too. You ever try to hide your sins? You know you have. Here's the thing with hiding sins. You actually can hide them for a time. Your sins can be like those hidden pictures that we were looking at. They're right there, right now, and no one sees them. Yet. But what you can't do is hide your sins forever. That's what you can't do. Look at verse 24 again. The sins of some people are conspicuous, going before them to judgment. But the sins of others appear later. That's, in other words, on this side of the judgment, some sins are obvious. Other sins are not. But let me tell you something. There is a judgment. And in the judgment, all sins come to light. They're right there. You can't hide them. You can hide your sins from me here now. You cannot hide your sins from God at all, ever, at any time. With God, sins aren't even like the sins in those hidden pictures where they're there but you don't see them. With God, they're like blazed on a movie screen for everyone to see. He sees them, and you cannot run from God. I mean, when you think about it, trying to hide something for God, isn't that kind of silly? Or trying to run from God as if, that's really kind of silly. Okay, so here's the deal, guys. God will judge your sin. He will. And there is nothing you can do about it. And God is just. This is why we need the cross. See, on the cross, God judged your sin. Without the cross, you will not escape the judgment of God. It's actually impossible to escape the judgment of God apart from the cross. Let me say that again. You will not escape the judgment of God without the cross. It's not going to happen. You will pay for your sin. And the penalty is hell. That's what the Bible describes as the penalty for sin. You don't want that. And you don't want that for anyone else. You know, I'm talking to believers here. And so I'm assuming you guys, you understand the cross. You understand what God has done on the cross for you. It's why people need Jesus. But you all have friends and family members and such who do not know him. No one will hide his sin from God. No one. God will require payment for sin. Without Jesus, you will pay yourself in hell without Jesus. With Jesus, God shows you his love and says, "My son has paid your price." That's the difference. And so, you can't hide your sin forever. Come to God. Acknowledge your sin. Believe in Jesus. Be free. That's the message of the cross. It's the message of Christ. If you're trying to hide sin, come clean with God. Just, if we confess our sins, it's So it's 1 John, right? 1 John 1. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just confess your sins to him and say, thank you for the cross. Thank you, you have paid. I am a sinner and I need you. Now, I've talked about, you all know people who don't know Jesus. Tell them. They got to know him. This isn't a light thing. We're talking about eternity here. We're not talking about, you know, something that's just going to last a day or two. We're talking about where will they be for eternity. They need to know that in Jesus, their sins will be washed away. I know that can be hard. You know, sometimes it's hard to have those conversations with people because sometimes people don't want to hear that. Yes. Yeah. But I'll tell you this. If you don't say anything, they are walking on a path to eternal judgment. And you could actually tell them, hey, this way is life. Because you know. You can tell them that. You can offer them life. But if we don't, well, why don't we? Well, because it's hard. Don't be that person. I understand it's hard. I'm not an evangelist at all. I wrestle with this probably more than you guys do. But ask for God's grace to do the hard thing with some of those people that you know. And for wisdom on how to do it. Because you know they don't want to hear it. And you don't want to like cram it down their throats. Just say, oh, here. You know, you don't want to do that. But they need to know. That's not an option. They actually need to know. And so tell them about the love of Christ and what he's done for you and the peace he's given you and the freedom that he gives you from sin. Because they're not going to hide their sins. They're not. Okay, we're going to close this way. I'm going to open this up for a time of prayer. This can be silent prayer if you want. I want you to pray a prayer of confession. You know, sins, hiding sins, kind of what we're talking about. I want you to confess to God. I don't want you to hide your sins from God. I want you to name them before him. You know, don't just say, forgive me for my sins. Say, forgive me for, you know, yesterday when I spoke that way with Leanne. Forgive me for, I want it to be specific. Because when it's vague, it's vague. And we just hide behind vagueness. But when it gets specific, it gets more real. And so and I'm not asking you necessarily to pray aloud for everyone to hear, but I want you to talk to God and just be open with him. Don't hide your sin from him. And so I'm going to give us a minute just to do that. And then I'm going to ask us to pray for a second thing. And so, but let's just take a minute now and do that. So second thing. I'm going to ask you to pray for now. I want you to think of a person who needs Jesus, a person who has sins, and they're not going to be hidden. They are coming out for everyone to see, and this person is not going to be able to just hide his or her sins. I want you to ask God for strength, for courage, to tell him or her about Jesus and wisdom and how. And so I want you to do it by name. So think of the person, talk to God about that person's name, and how can I do this? Give me strength, give me courage, give me wisdom to do this.